Hey guys, so this is going to be the second and final episode of the interview I did with Chainsaw Tony Myers. But before that, I want to talk about something a little more serious. Actually, a lot more serious. A couple days ago, Mike, my co-host, and the guy who does a lot of stuff and helps me in a big, big way with all kinds of work to keep all of this little network going, he was involved in a pretty serious car wreck. Mike suffered some pretty serious injuries, the worst of which is looking like, some serious injuries to his neck. Obviously, as me and a friend always say, fuck wrestling, right? Wrestling is just a bunch of guys running around in the ring in their underwear. This is real life, and this is some real, I don't know what's gonna happen after this. Mike did a lot. He added a lot to the show. Without him, we wouldn't be able to cover anything relating to Mexican wrestling, as I just don't have the time. He helped coordinate pretty much all of the interviews. He did some of the interviews solo when I couldn't be there because of, just various time differences and stuff. He got me all of the results that get posted in the newsletter. Without him, I wouldn't have half of the results that I do. And obviously, he runs, the Deathmatch Cult Network. So going forward, I really don't know what we're going to do. I just don't. I'm still in Japan. I'm going to be leaving on January 3rd. And at that point, I guess we'll make a decision about what we're going to do to keep the shows going and stuff. But obviously, guys, head over to the Deathmatch Cult. Post on the wall and send Mike your well wishes, because it sounds like he's pretty banged up. I don't know when he'll be back. I'm sure with his passion and his, and love for wrestling, I'm sure he'll be back. I'm very sure if he can, he will. So, head on over, wish him well, send him your good thoughts, and keep him in your prayers. So this is, going to be the final interview with Chainsaw Tony, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
But, no matter what, I mean, it is his. The funniest comment that I got was somebody went, somebody actually put this on the Instagram. Like, technically not mine. The one that fucking Leatherface, Chainsaw Tony, hijacked. They put this on there. Oh, DJ booked himself into Japan. DJ is not Onita. That's the booker. That's where the fucking buck stops. Mm-hmm. That was Onita's idea. I was there.
Why?
I saw that.
Why? Why not this guy or that guy?
He owns a company. He's got the size. And he knew that he was an active wrestler.
Yeah.
So Anita's like, you know what? You're paying me all this money. Why don't you just...
Then,
so you don't have nothing to worry
it's a
about.
Favor, not a... It's right. Not like he's going to pop the crowd. He's going to do this or do that. It's a favor.
The funniest thing was when I put out there, like, when they released the poster for the whole Japan versus...
FMW, CZW,
CZW, Japan versus the United States, like... They wanted me to come in as Tony Myers, without Sam's gimmick. So I took when they released that poster and I put it out there on Facebook. I'm like, all right, let's fucking do this. Zandig, because DJ was tagged in it, thought that DJ was the one cutting the promo saying, let's do this FMW one more fucking time. Here it is, everything I got, every ounce of energy. He thought that it was DJ cutting that promo and DJ putting that on Facebook. So Zandig shared my shit, and he put, is this motherfucking delusional DJ? Fuck you, you piece of shit. And I'm like, I liked it. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Zandig thinks that it's DJ. I was like, this is tremendous. But it's funny because he'll bring back Zandig and then just do everything. Have to literally be buried by Zandig in Blackout, Robbie Marino there. Dumping dirt all over him. So he'll go that far as to, job out and all that shit. But yeah, as far as the continuation of that or putting other people over, it's his. He's going to do it. Obviously, he's going to do it.
He's going to do it his way.
Yeah. I mean, what more can you say? He obviously has proven that.
All right.
No matter what.
Another beat of it tonight.
That's some good beer.
It is.
Arigato.
Are you getting another one there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ni mo biru kudasai.
Ni.
I could say.
They're going to bring out 8 beers now. In China, it's like that. You'll be like, hey, can I get a beer? Oh, do it. And then 5 minutes go by, can I get that beer? Oh, do it. And out of nowhere, 5 beers come out. You're like, wait a minute, I ordered one, man.
Me and Jimmy and Stu went to that the sumo restaurant that's right by the sumo hall.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And they have on the menu, you can eat what like a sumo wrestler has. So we're figuring out, okay, if we order that,
it
is that
much at all?
Is that like you split for 3, or is that just like for one person?
Yeah. Yoshiko's sitting there, and she goes, for such a big guy, he doesn't eat anything. Like, what the fuck? I'm waiting for him to fucking order a goddamn cow and shit, you know?
I got a Mark question. Are you ready for it? So the Seozawa thumb pick thing.
Yes.
Or can you do that? Can you ram one fucking...
With just one?
Yeah, well...
You know, the trick is, the more that you use, the easier it is.
Yeah?
You know that, right?
Hey, get your video thing out, Jeff. All right. Stick me, brother.
So you're just going to do one? One by itself?
No. Do however many it is, man.
If you do a shitload, it's much easier.
All right, do a shitload of them.
It's the same thing of how they say...
Get the video ready, brother.
Boy, we're going way off topic.
Oh, man, this is all good, man. I'm getting drunker. It's fine. I'm the dude, back in China, they call me 3 Beer Steve, man. I'm 3 Beer Steve.
What are you doing on your phone? Because my...
Well, I'm recording the audio on my phone.
I can do it on mine.
Yeah, get it out, man.
Because
it's
for some reason,
video.
I don't know.
That's,
you
just click it. Bam.
I never use the video.
There you go. Now it's going.
Let's go get it.
All right.
Do you have a lighter, too? Because you have to light it on fire. No, really. That's what
I have to. I have to.
I've been smoking this whole time.
All right, brother. I'm going to come at you with my chainsaw.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You block me. You ready for it?
Oh, this is just fucking... Oh, this is going to be brutal.
Ah!
Shit, man. At least there's a bunch. Be thankful of that.
Ah!
Oh, there is a bunch.
Oh, Christ. I'm sorry, Masada. I'm stealing your fucking spot. Oh, Christ almighty. And it's in there pretty far.
That's not that bad,
man.
Lighter?
No, you know, no, I have a couple of them.
No. Yeah, happy birthday to you.
Oh, my God.
You belong in a zoo. By the time these things light, it's going to really smell.
Oh, anymore. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It is burning.
The fuck?
Wow. Hi.
Good times.
Christ. Let's just hope he doesn't start leaking blood.
Send that to me, will you?
So I told you about the one where I was like showering and I go, what the fuck am I breaking out? And then I start getting all angry and shit. And then realize, oh yeah, that's why I got struck by a barbed wire bat a couple of times. I told him, I was like, how much experience does that young boy have? And
Hirata.
One fucking year. I go, he's better than guys that've been in there 5 fucking years.
He's like the great white hope. He's like who all the fucking plan is on.
And you can just see the look in his face like, oh God, don't let me fuck up. And I was like, dude, just relax. We're going to communicate. Chill. And they were like, yo, that helped him out a lot.
Yeah.
And I go, because he was like going, oh shit, that guy never takes off his mask. What the fuck is going on?
Can you see, what's the vision like burn that thing?
Oh, if you really want to know.
Do you got it? Get your camera out.
Yeah, you know what the funny thing is? Here, I'll give a shout out to Shaheen, right? You know how that whole thing came to be, right?
No, what?
I've done 2 of his podcasts.
Yeah.
He trashed. He shit completely all over Once in a Lifetime. And he goes, and then they got fucking Tony Myers out there and just shitty fucking... bootleg mask. I mean, giant leather from Grimm's Toy Show, back at whatever. Oh, that's even. He's even got a better bullshit fucking thing. And this is a total shout out to another guy, John Bullard, right? Look at the craftsmanship on it alone. Now you got to watch this because of course it's gonna start tearing and shit.
But, are you filming?
Yeah.
Yeah, bring it on. All right, brother. So this is the Tony Meyer leather mask. Can I put it on? Is that okay?
Oh yeah.
All right, cool. It's not gonna bite me.
Style.
Right?
Easiest way. Yeah, back first, and then yep. Damn, he was.
How do you get it down?
He almost that's it. It's down.
Hey, that.
See the vision in it.
I mean, it's not bad, but I can imagine if it gets tilted, it would be like...
Yeah, and you haven't even laced up the back yet either.
Yeah.
Because you see all the rest of it's all spandex.
Yeah.
All this. Yeah. See, I gave it... The funny thing is, when you go to clean it, You just walk into the shower with it.
Nice, but not bad.
Yeah, you look at the craftsmanship.
You get a photo on it in this thing?
Yeah. Photo, hey, a video. Probably take another mouthful of steak.
Yeah, that's getting cold by now. Damn, thank you for all this, man. It's a fun day, man.
Oh, yeah. It's tremendous. I used to hate it because, you know, I'd have to wear a different mask coming into the arena. And because I had the hair all man-bunned up, Pogo would just go, homeless! Because instead of, like, the mask, you know, I'd wear, like, the mask that they wear. Like, the surgical mask that you always see Japanese people wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know the meaning behind all that shit, right?
Which part?
Well, they're so considerate that it's to prevent the spreading of their diseases.
Nice.
As well as
Of course. Yeah. How do I get the camera, man?
See how easy it slides on, man?
Oh, I got it. There we go.
And see, when you got the douchey man bun, it makes it so easy for it to go in and come off and go right back on.
You gotta get down a lot, right?
You gotta, like, pull it down. just grab it and yank it, and it'll get into place. Yeah, there you go.
Feel it?
Here, let me help you out, man. You ready? Oh, man, your head's a little bigger than mine.
You guys look like, you ever see Beetlejuice?
Yeah.
He fucking does it.
Hey, Tony, do you want to get in and pose with him real quick, man? Come on. Be a pro, Tony. Be a pro.
This finally dispels the rumor that it's me under the mask. Now you know it's not.
Nice.
Now you know it's not me under
the mask. Thanks, man.
Awesome. This is an audio podcast, so visually this is probably shit, but...
Yeah.
No, that's a nice little mask. Yeah, where did you get it from?
Okay, now I can finally put it over. John Bullard.
John Bullard, okay, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God, you actually know John.
No, you said his name 3 minutes ago and got sidetracked.
Oh,
that's
shit.
All. I don't know John Bullard, I'm sorry.
I popped on the wrong thing. No, but if you look at the craftsmanship of how it's glued,
thank you,
sewn, and everything else, absolutely incredible. You can see from the craftsmanship. I mean, it's durable. You know how many explosions this thing's been in? But yeah, so when I heard Shaheen...
Bro, I got a question. Go on, man.
He was talking about the cheap mask and shit, and he was like, oh, and then that guy didn't do shit. And, actually, I went and I did that Deathmatch Russell podcast.
Yeah.
So I'd gotten backlash from everybody. They're like, what the fuck? Why are you giving away all those stories for free? And then...
Because there's no money, man.
I ran across Shaheen, and I said, oh, God, I didn't figure you thought much of me. I listened to you fucking bury me and rape me on your podcast. And I was like, there's a shit ton of shit about going into fucking Once in a Lifetime. There's so much shit that people didn't realize. But anyway, so Tremont was like, let me get this straight. The guy spends all his time fucking trashing you. Then he wants you on his podcast. He's like, that doesn't even make sense, brother. And I was like, well, you know what? When I was doing the 605 podcast, that's the guy that was...
That's what I, yeah.
Jim
For Cornette. Anyone who wants to listen to the 605 podcast, you'd like a 3-part series on it. Really good, really good stuff, but go on, man.
I told... well, I've known him since I did Dennis Carluzzo's shows back in the mid-90s. So I told him. I go... If you want to spring it on me, I don't give a fuck. Because if Jim Cornette's on there and wants to shit on and bury Deathmatch Wrestling, I was like, trust me, there's enough shit I can fucking bury him alive on. I was like, especially, this is all new. The first time I'm going on the record, I'm choked up talking about old stories about Pogo. This is right after I came back from after he passed away. So I was like, oh, Christ. I was like, I was just ready for the world at that point. You know, it's like... losing my mind over the whole Pogo thing, especially being here when it happened.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking hit me with your best shot. Because to this day, I've stated, physically, especially mentally, that was the hardest fucking thing I've ever been hit by. To this day, the fact that I'm still standing after that was like, because it happened out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Who goes in for back surgery and winds up taking their life?
Yeah.
No fucking sense. And it was the same. It was a different hospital than the one he was already in the midst of suing that fucked up his back surgery the year before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but after that, it was like a real bonding. That, to me, was a turning point where I just noticed everybody was just so much kinder. And they're like, Tony, dude, holy shit. You went through a lot of shit, man. Fucking. I still can't believe that I'm living in a world without him. How many times I'll even tell Yoshiko, I'll be like, you know, God, at times like this, I would pick up and I would call Pogo and be like, yo, you got the answers. You tell me what's going on here. Although, Onita calling up and flipping out, going, you're this church guy, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? Yeah. You're not supposed to fucking die.
Wait, one more. So, I don't want to derail too much, but you were asking Seozawa last night. What's it feel like to get whipped into an exploding barbed wire ring, man? Does it hurt?
It feels like a devil's tooth came out from hell and bit you in the balls.
Well, there really? You go, man. Because he last night, I'm gonna call him out. He was like, "That shit doesn't hurt. That shit's weak. Those explosions don't matter."
Yeah.
Really? The one where he knocked me off the ring and
fucking killed me. And you, dude, fireball ate you, man.
My foot, the side of my foot.
But no, he was talking about the ropes, the pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, I was talking about, because when you hit them, that's not what sets it off, right? There's somebody with a switch.
Somebody detonating it, yeah. But so many times I've gotten too close to it. Yeah. With Onita, I call, and this is what I was telling Danny Havoc back there at Once in a Lifetime. I go, whatever you do, make sure you get struck, then curl and take your bump, tuck your chin. Because I made the mistake of, I curled my fucking legs, completely burned my pants. Another time he hit me in the stomach and the button of my shirt got so hot Onita went to cover me and all of a sudden he jumped back off me. He was like, fuck that. Push-up position on me. He did a push-up position on me and Onita was like, ew. And Onita was like, what the, he was like, I felt it burning my stomach.
Yeah.
And I was like, you. But I remember that and Hasegawa coming up to me going, Jesus Christ. Because it was like right around Halloween. Again, I was Mammoth Sasaki.
Yeah.
He was the one that was holding me. And Onita hit me with the double explosive bat. And I was like, fucking. And you could see him at his size. I got a video of it. And you see, like, not gimmick-wise, he flew back. Because the impact on me, I was like, fuck. And I just, like, my ass knocked him backwards.
Yeah.
Sasaki's a big motherfucker, man. I was like, I look at him, I go, you just look like a giant piece of fucking meat, man. Like
he was like, his back's fucking shredded though. The way he walks, he pushes his gut out. His back is fucked. Yeah,
his back is like in a question.
It looks really bad.
We're the exact
man.
Same age too.
Yeah.
So he's always like bonded with me over that.
But the thing about the Japanese wrestlers is that they don't wrestle 3 times a month. They're wrestling 20-30 times a month. Yeah. You know.
I mean, like this time around, I could have got literally booked every single day. I told you, like, you know, tomorrow I'm not wrestling. I turned that down. I was like, Matt Ward Pro Wrestling in Shinjuku. I was like, guys, you know, I'm going to bail on that. Because
that's one of those gay shows, by the way. But anyway, go on.
Actually, it's not. It's,
oh, really? Okay.
It's all intergender.
Wait, I got to go to the bathroom.
I guess I'll... I don't know. What was the question before? Yeah, drop the name.
Hey, throw a name at him to talk about,
right,
man.
Let's see. Ito.
Oh, Christ, Ito. There's a guy there. I always said to myself, he's like the perfect wrestler. He's got like the perfect body. Everything he does in the ring is meticulous. It's just that he spent so many years in so much power in Big Japan. Come on, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. And if you know that you're not going anywhere and you're going to be there, who are you going to depend on? Yourself. That's going to do nothing but breed enemies, especially in wrestling.
Yeah.
That's another thing with DJ, man. Unless he's burying himself time and time and again, how's he ever going to get ahead? You know what I mean? You know, no matter what, you're fucked. No matter what you do. The whole Triple H, double-edged sword thing. No matter what that guy does, he is fucked. Because everybody knows what's going on.
You know about the thing in February at Buell the Butcher's retirement kind of thing?
You can't even climb into a fucking...
I know.
The funniest goddamn thing ever was one of the first times I met up with Nick Mondo out here. He told me he got into it with Buell the Butcher. And Buell the Butcher's like, tell you what, man, anytime you want to... And Nick Mondo just goes, no, just envision that. Envision a fist fight with me and fucking... I go, that guy can barely fucking walk.
It sounds like a monster chasing fucking Bugs Bunny. Just doing that whole go to hug him and just, you know, miss him.
Can you imagine Buell the Butcher challenge Nick Mondo to a fight? Like, that in itself,
hey,
is...
Hey, answer a question for me, and not to put out business. Was Nick Mondo ever a teacher here?
As I take a swig of beer. No,
yeah.
Never.
He, okay.
He was always into making movies.
Okay.
when he left wrestling, he worked at Blockbuster for several months because he just fascinated
by movies. In film school during,
I still call him, in and out of wrestling, like the single most interesting human being you will ever...
I really want to interview him. I'm just waiting for the right time because I want to say one... Go on, man. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like I don't get off on a religious tangent. You know, I have my beliefs and I don't shove them on nobody.
Yeah.
But Nick Mondo, that's another bonding thing right there is, man... Dude is seriously, you know, he will pray before his meals. I mean, he's a true and through. He's a real Christian. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see him, no matter what he does, he tries to better himself. And, like, just a better person. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he himself, he's another one of those guys that walked into something. We talked about, well, actually, you and I talked off the record outside with Zandig about how he didn't know what he was getting into. And then all of a sudden, there's all these business decisions that he had to make for that early CZW. Man. Most of the guys don't know what the hell they're getting into. I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
I just packed up a, you know, 1987 Ford Temple and drove to Memphis. And I was like, hey, kid, get a passport. Hey, kid, you're coming with us to Puerto Rico. I was like, what the fuck? You know, all right, yeah. Oh, cool.
What a dream,
It's ridiculous. And here we are, half a planet away, you know. His native land. Yours is...
China.
Well, okay, born.
Ohio. No, I mean, I've lived in China for 5 years now, so to me, like when I go home to America, that's weird to me.
Me too. I explained to you about me selling my house and all that bullshit, man. It's like, I can't wait to get rid of that monumental pain he has.
Oh, yeah. Just like, him and me were at, we were doing the store tour today. Like, we went to three or four stores, and I told him, like, 8 times, I'm like, oh, this is so cool. That is so cool. But I got nowhere to put it. I'm buying it. You know, so like, I can't buy any of that stuff.
I think I need, like, a friend of mine dropped what he was doing. He had a week's vacation. He just came out here to hang out with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you got to understand something. I'm desensitized to all of this.
Yeah.
When I'm pointing out stuff, he's just like, oh, like, his mind is blown. He's like, Jesus. Yeah. You know, I love having people like that out here because, like, you know, I get desensitized to all this because, you know, he's living this.
Yeah.
And then this is the most English I've spoken in months.
Yeah.
I'm going on month number 4 here.
See, my problem is I keep speaking Chinese to people, and I'm like...
Which dialect? Because there's like 20 trillion of them.
Well, no, it's all the same language, just different accents is what it is. But
it's cold state.
And northern accent. Northern accent. But, like, people keep on giving me shit, and I keep on saying, do it, which is, like, the Chinese word for, like... Cool, right? Basically, it means
Japanese.
Yeah, so I keep on saying fucking Dewey to people, and I'm like, why am I talking like this to people? But it's hard, you know, it's just you get, it's like, I'm learning a fourth language.
I took the time out to like walk through every single inch of my house and be like, this is where I have this shit, there's a couple chainsaws around here, and I'm doing all this, and a friend of mine goes, you come across as the biggest Guido douchebag from Jersey. And I go, well, that's what the fuck I am, man. Just because I spent those 17 years in Memphis, down there every day was like, you ain't from
well,
around
shit,
here.
Well, shit, let's say, well, no.
People look at your Social Security number, they're like, what the fuck is this? You know, the way your Social Security number starts out, they're like, where the fuck are you from? And you open your mouth and they go, it's fucking Jersey, shit.
Where were you born?
Small town, East Hanover, New Jersey. It's on the side of those old Nabisco boxes.
Okay. Because
that's where the headquarters are.
Yeah.
My sister wound up like head of marketing for that fucking shit, too. She would bring all kinds of PlayStations and shit. It's like, hey, I got a free PS2. Not even Christmas. Cool. But yeah, it was like from there, you know, I had enough matches with Dennis Carluzzo, Indies, and all the other shit. When Eddie Gilbert got there, I already had my friendship with him, hauling his bags around and shit, and kissing his ass because I loved Eddie Gilbert. And Eddie's the reason I'm here now. I'm still here now.
Mm.
You know, a quarter century later. I'll be damned.
When did you wrestle in Puerto Rico?
That was 95, and that had a lot to do with, it's like Billy Travis, Steve Dahl, Ken Wayne, Eddie Gilbert laid the groundwork for that, and, you know, next thing I knew, I was like, yeah, come on, and then I came back to Memphis TV with the Super Hysteria gimmick, and just fell on my fucking face. If you ever look up in this Super Hysteria shit from Memphis, oh my god, I still have that.
What is Jerry Lawler like, man?
Love or hate, you know what I mean? I remember leaving Memphis and telling him, hey man, thank you for fucking
everything. Yeah.
put me on your TV.
What is the names. So where does the hate come from? Bad payoffs or
that and him just, you know, like, fucking with me. You know what I mean? Like one night he was just like, "Why you squint so much?" You know, and I was just, you know, I know he's a joke guy, so I was like, "I don't need glasses. I drink out of the bottle." And he was just like, "Flies it, you know, tonight." Because, you know, when we would do Buddy Wayne's towns, Buddy Wayne didn't want to haul the ring. So I'd get $100 for hauling the ring, but I had a ring crew to pay. Jerry's like, "You're getting more tonight than I am." Me, just a lot of times, I guess that's why it was good. Japan was a good place I fell in with, because I couldn't be a wise ass because I didn't speak the language when I came here. But me back to lower was, well, fuck, you could book at the time, you know, Hulk Hogan. And at the other, you know, Ric Flair. Hey, you could book Hulk Hogan against Ric Flair, but if you don't have a ring and someone to put it up, what good is it?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said to him. And he was just like, "I bet you take this shit for granted, don't you? You just think we're a bunch of hayseeds. You just think we're a bunch of... You probably go back home to your family in Jersey and laugh about what a bunch of fucking red...
By the way, that's the worst Jerry Lawler impression I've ever heard in my life. That's the, like, if Jerry Lawler and Joe fucking Piscopo had a baby, man.
No, it was like when he squares up with you and he's just ripping into
you. Okay, yeah.
He would constantly do that with me. I'm like, motherfucker, if you saw where I lived... You guys were all wearing new Nike shoes and shit, you know. Fucking, I'm half starving, and I got a fucking ring crew I got to pay and shit.
Yeah.
Buddy Wayne quit, then came back, and I'm still hauling the fucking ring to his towns. Wrestling twice, under a mask, all the, you know. I don't complain because I realized at the time it was one of the last of the territories to, you know. But... still, to like treat a young kid like that, like I would never do it. Especially somebody with my level of commitment. You know, I told you a story about I was the only job guy with a chainsaw, and I was lying to him because Jerry's like looking around. He's like, "Who has a chainsaw?" And he had all the job guys. You know, were all kind of spread out, but he was going to each of them. "Which one of you guys has a chainsaw?" And I was like, "I do," because I saw Leatherface on all the fucking on all the towns. "I do." And then I had to go to the hardware store.
I thought so.
So, I mean, no, it's shit like that. But
they always say, hey, they always say to fucking indie guys, bring your gear.
Yeah, you never know.
Hey, put a chainsaw in your back of the trunk. You never know, man.
I lied about it, but I went out and got the chainsaw. But, so many different mask gimmicks in Memphis, too.
Yeah.
Come in.
The Christmas creature.
Well, he would cock his head to his side and look at me and be like, "Do you have like a stethoscope and a doctor?"
Yeah.
And I had to go to Mike Samples and be like, "Can I borrow
All right, stop right there. I want to stop you right there. All right, I want to talk some timeline, okay? Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I need you to stay focused, okay?
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh.
You're going to start off the thing with that.
So... let me get a time note on that. All right, 1:59. All right, so, because this is going to be episode 3 now. Are you ready for it? Okay.
I'm such a rambling asshole that I made him do a third fucking... Now he has to go back and tell people, hey, here's a part 3 with this shit.
Beers and Chainsaws with Chainsaw Tony. So, okay, so listen. Okay, help me out, man. I'm trying to get Mike Samples on the show. You know me, I like doing this timeline
Another
shit, man.
Another guy who... He's my American Vegeta.
Okay.
I team with him. I went against him. I team with him. Different gimmicks. Yeah.
Okay. So, help me out. Mike Samples is working Big Japan, 98-99. Okay. The CZW guys come in. Hold on. Let me lay the timeline for everybody else. So give me 1 minute.
It
okay?
all ends with.
Let me lay out the timeline for people. Okay. Well, anyway. So okay. Well, I didn't... Okay, so anyway. March 2000, the CZW guys come in. April, they hold the World Extreme Cup, and they tell Mike Samples, hey, bring in some guys, and they tell John Zandig, bring in some guys. John Zandig brings in Wifebeater, Justice Payne, and Nick Gage. Mike Samples brings in Mustafa, Tower of Doom.
Rick I forget Hogan.
I'm sorry?
He was the Macho Warrior, Rick Hogan.
Okay.
Mike.
And at the end of the tour, they said, all right, John Zandig, you've got the you got the job of foreign booker. Right. Run us through. What happened? What is Mike Samples' opinion? Mike Samples gets pushed out. He won't talk to me about it, so I'm asking you, can you give Mike Samples' side of the story? Book? I haven't read Pondo's book.
I haven't either, but I heard him do this.
Sound like I was burying Pondo before, but no. I kind of made a comeback with that. What happened was he slapped John Zandig, like in a meeting.
He smacked him. He physically smacked him.
Pondo was there as Pondo.
Okay.
As Pondo. You other and he
well, go
up,
on. Tell the fucking story,
getting,
man.
He wound up getting deported. I wasn't there.
Bro, well, wait,
I've
wait.
Only heard
go,
different sides.
Go back 1 month and tell us this story, please, because I'm dying to know, man. Please.
Which month? Where he lost it.
Just
he
fucking
lost
tell
cool.
us what you know about this story and what led up to it and everything.
He lost his cool.
Uh huh. Why?
Slap. Because. All the internal bickering of, you know, the CZW guys.
And keep in mind, the CZW guys were being bankrolled by ADV Film.
Right.
So they were free talent for Big Japan.
They also had like $100 a day food allowance. Which,
per diem, yeah.
Yeah. But no, see, that's where the part gets hazy because I was not there.
You weren't
that.
There, but no. Mike Samples won't talk to me. So hopefully you can help me out because I was getting these tapes. I was getting these tapes, and I, dude, this is my childhood. You know,
his in-ring did end too. I'm talking about Samples.
Yeah,
he knew that it was his time to just not wrestle anymore.
Yeah,
he fell off a scaffold, busted his hip. So, right about that point, you know, he knew.
It's over.
Done. Yeah.
But what led to him smacking John Zandig, and what happened
that
after?
That part, I know.
Like
the,
he actually
all the
bitch slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
And John Zandig, what did he do?
Because
John Zandig's a much more impressive
John Zandig,
physical
yeah,
specimen.
Kind of I think what Zandig did was the smartest thing he could do.
Nothing.
Sit back and watch him get kicked out.
Yeah.
Land it. You can't.
This just happened to me in China.
You can't
yeah.
slap somebody. Period.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's from several sides of the story. That's what it all boiled down to. I heard that he slapped John
and Pondo.
And
Pondo was there, so it had been in 2001.
Yeah, you could ask Pondo. Maybe Pondo will fill in all those blanks.
Mm.
Didn't you have, like, an open podcast?
Yeah. But, I mean,
did
like, I don't...
around it? He kind of beat around the bush.
He never mentioned that.
I didn't beat around the bush, you know, when they put me on the spot.
Okay,
like, hey,
well,
Tony,
let me say one thing. I'm three years deep.
Somebody had Pondo, like, just recently.
It was me.
Was it you?
Well, we had him on, like, 2 months ago.
Okay.
I was at the gym listening to him. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for that part to come up.
Can I suck my own dick for a second?
Sure.
I just want to say, I put so much work into making a professional podcast that isn't the Chris Farley Show. Like, I hate the Chris Farley Show. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
No, before you said Chris Farley Show, and what happened?
No, I mean, like, the Chris Farley Show is, hey, Tony, remember that time you swung the chainsaw? That was so cool. I hate those fucking podcasts. I can't stand those podcasts. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be like, what I want to ask, so no, Pondo never brought it up. I want Mike Samples to come on my show and talk about that year.
That's everything that I heard, everything I've been led to believe by people that were there, is that he actually slapped.
Bitch slapped. Did he slap or did he bitch slap?
I wasn't there.
Okay.
Based upon
there's no video.
Yeah.
I need video.
I wish I could overanalyze and jog back in my memory, but that's one of the points that I wasn't there.
All right, fair. Okay, I can't ask you to tell a story that
it's
you weren't
not
there.
Fair. I wasn't there.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I get it.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I'd love for people to delve more. When I brought up to John Dahmer, I was like, because Dahmer's talking about when he was in the ring with Pondo, and he looks over, and Pondo's like, look, I'm wrestling. He had, like, somebody in a fucking wrist lock, a bottom wrist lock, and Pondo yelled out to Dahmer, and I was like, it just dinged. So I asked John Dahmer, I'm like, what happened? I heard that Mike Samples slaps Zandig over there. Like, that's a little too hard to believe. And he was like, no, that didn't happen. I was like, well, he was only over there a couple of times. Somebody has to know about this. Maybe you got to track somebody down that was actually there.
That's what I'm trying to do. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to assemble a timeline of the BJW from 1998 to 2000, you know, through the Pondo years. And all I've got is Pondo. I've got nobody else to talk to from that time. And I'm like, you know, who else would it be? Too Tough Tony, Mike Samples, I'm not going to get Zandig to talk about it. I'm not going to get Nick Gage to talk about it. So who are my options?
Nobody's going to own up to it. Because, I mean, it just seems so far-fetched.
Well, the
you
whole...
slapped him?
The, well, no, no, no. Even beyond that, the whole business of that time period is, like, it's out of whack.
Yeah.
There was money just being burnt left and right, you know?
Yeah,
and
they, if you look around, the crowds really weren't there either.
Bro, I ran, for anyone who doesn't know, I ran an Angel Fire Big Japan fan site, okay? And that's how I got started doing all this. I had fucking a Necro Butcher messaging
me. It's so cool because as much as I've heard him talk over the years, like, I finally get to ask him some questions. Like, I found that he's from Ohio.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have wrestling, but go on. If you want to, go ahead, man. I'm sorry. I'm three beers deep, so...
Yeah, it's going to turn into me interviewing you.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to, like... Go ahead, man. But, no, I had fucking Necro messaging me on AOL Instant Messenger where my code name, or where my username was BJPW1. Anyway, and saying, hey, brother, can you get me booked in Big Japan? I'm like, dude, I'm 13, man.
I would have never known that. The, he's another interesting guy. Like, Necro did everything.
They were coming
in,
over,
like,
on tourist visas.
Suit fighting organizations. What is
yeah.
that? Fighting Merkel, Klopp, and...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Merkel fucking fucked him up.
Bob Sapp,
he did a three-way against Van Damme and Suamon and everything. Yeah. I'm sorry. Minoamon.
About the time Pogo sent me over to Taiwan, right?
Yeah. Oh, what's Taiwan like? I've never been to Taiwan, man.
It winds up being all amateur wrestlers.
Yeah.
So I told Pogo, I go, dude, these people are all fucking shooters. Like, real fucking, like, what the fuck are you doing? And he goes, listen, just pancake. You don't do like pancake. Just pancake down.
And what does that mean?
He goes, this dude, you know, basically just hug the fucking, you know, mats. Like, you know,
gotcha.
Turn you over and shit. And he goes, at least there'll be some pictures. Then we could say that you competed, you know, in shoot fighting. And I'm not a shooter. What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
It's like all these people are like really short. This is when I had to cut weight and get down to like 189 pounds.
What do you weigh right now, brother?
I'm 250 something.
And you got down to 180?
Yeah.
You can do it again.
Oh, here.
You can do it again, man. I'm a weight loss guy.
Are you sick or you just went on a diet?
No, I just go on a diet.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
I told you before. I think I covered that about.
No liquor, limited carbs.
And,
yeah,
yeah,
you
exactly.
can do it.
Just
yeah.
cutting portions, little yeah. by little. And look,
here's I'm a weight loss guy.
Look,
yeah.
I'm showing you my phone right now. This is a horrible, you know, for audio, terrible. But look at this entire before and after. Because also, like, when I got a couple of my teeth busted out with WWS. Hogo's
are your
that,
teeth fake right now?
Yeah, I mean,
show me them
all,
chompers,
yeah,
brother.
They're all fucking here. You're about to get a recording. Ain't nobody got teeth this fucking pearly. So funny because people look at that and they'll be like, "You have a nice smile for a fucking hideous monster." Yeah, this before and after. It shows dramatic weight loss. It shows. It shows my entire like ascendancy into fucking my teeth get chipped, broken, knocked out. Knocked out, everything. Here we go. Before and after. Next to BoJack Horseman, because it's in alphabetical order on my phone.
Do you guys want another beer?
Look at this entire thing. This is all, like, teeth broken.
Oh,
teeth
thank
redone.
God they broke your teeth, man.
Yeah, that was completely knocked out.
Damn.
And that's me with a giant smile, because I got them fixed.
How many teeth are fake in there?
Well, my front four teeth were all chipped, broken, because it got to the point where... One night, you know, oh no, keep going, man.
This, I don't want to find a dick pic or something.
It dramatizes the weight loss. No. This is all like before and after shit. So you see me when I'm like
whoa,
giant. Yeah.
You lost some weight, man.
Wait,
yeah.
That's you?
Don't zoom.
Yeah,
oh, you got to get back down there.
Yeah.
You got to get back down there, man.
No,
I'm a weight loss guy, bro. I want to see you get back down, man.
For now, I got to keep on the size. And the hardest
fair
part
enough,
about
fair
it is,
enough.
You know,
you could put a pillow under there.
Yeah,
it's no
like,
big deal.
Okay, in Memphis, no, at one point, like, you know what, I dropped to, like, I cut back to, like, 205, and Pogo goes, I didn't bring you in here to have chiseled abs. He's
yeah.
like, well, let's go. And I was like, man, you try hauling all that shit around, man. It sucks.
Well, Pogo's not a thin guy.
No, but I mean, even toward the time of his like unfortunate passing, he was obsessing to lose more.
How
more
did
weight.
You find? How did you find out that he passed? I don't want you to get emotional, so
no,
if you don't
first,
want to talk,
very,
that's okay,
nah,
man.
I covered it before. Simply put, Niwa Sato, the former FMW, heavyweight champion, who's, you know, my church buddy. She's now an ordained minister who goes on missions to help with work. She called me, and she's just kind of hemming and hawing. She kind of called out of nowhere, and I was like, I had this bad feeling. She goes, Tony, I don't even know how to say this. And she just blurts out in perfect English, Hogo's dead.
Yeah.
And I was just like, my guy knew something was going to go wrong. I just had this awful feeling. He was complaining about, you know, I lost so much blood, I'm in so much pain. He never really cursed that much. He was like, this fucking guy next to me is annoying me in his bed. And he goes, I gave him $50 a day extra out of my own pocket money to keep me in a room by myself. I don't want any of these people around. He's like, I just feel like I have no fucking strength. I'm bleeding all the time. I've lost so much blood. I feel like shit.
Why was he bleeding?
He was internally bleeding. A cerebral infarction. Mm. They cut something underneath, and he bled out.
Wow. And so was it, I mean, was it...
When they went back in to fix what they had done, apparently they had cut something else.
So what's the Japanese healthcare like here? Is it garbage?
Well, for him, I mean, he went to an outside insurance company, and they agreed to insure him. And they were like, you know, they knew that he had health issues and everything. So all of his money was covered there, not to mention all the money he made from the years before. He held on to some of that. He had a failed bid with his restaurant over in Gunma Prefecture. And then he also had his big failed bid was for fucking mayor up in Gunma.
Yeah.
He lost a shitload of money. But he was still making...
I was just covering that.
He was still making constant money with wrestling and with his company. And his whole thing was he didn't need wrestling. His days of being a fan for it, unless we talked about something he was passionate about. Which, I mean, he would try to give me a background, and I already knew a lot of his background.
Yeah.
But the stories would fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. I leave Los Angeles. I go to Calgary after that. And then he would tell me how that happened, why this happened, you know, and then the funk's taking a liking. And then him telling O'Neill, you better learn how to cook because those funks love Oriental food. So, throughout it all, then Ichiro Yaguchi was the next call. And I was like, fucking man. And then I went to call out to somebody else and start letting people know. Before I could get a hold of that dickhead Dave Meltzer, he botched everything.
Do you want to shit on Dave Meltzer for a little while? I hate Dave Meltzer.
I don't really hate him.
I don't hate him. No, he does not.
He's kind of been there for me, kind of in a weird way. But
90% of it is awesome, but that 10% he gets wrong is fucking
brutal.
Through,
these pictures will blow your mind of like it. Shows.
You're still talking about your weight loss?
Yeah, and new teeth. But yeah, that pretty much the before and after here.
Yeah. And we got to get you down there again, man.
Yeah, 44-inch waist, dropping all the way to like 32, and then showing how 32 is like hanging off of my ass. That's Bull McConnell's weight loss.
Yeah, it's nice, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. No, I don't want to get back down there. I mean, like, the whole entire idea of what, when I cut back to 205, actually, when I bombed out 158 is when Pogo told me, we're going to bring you back to it. Because, you know, he had me in there as Atalashi leather, shin leather, you know, all these different variations of leather. And that started back in 2003. So he's like, we got to bring him back. And he was like, they're trying, but he's like, people aren't buying the fucking Japanese leather. They shit all over it. He's like, and our gates have constantly decreased. Look at his forehead.
What did I do?
He's got a gig mark.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, dude.
That was in the fucking there.
Jesus Christ.
Raised up a little.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you.
You're going to wake up tomorrow and I'll be like a big goose egg on your head.
Oh, man. Thank you very much.
So what
it
wound up coming to be was that, you know, he goes, I was 158, and he goes, we got to bring back the leather folks to me. He's like, you got like 8 months. He's like, so do what you have to do. He goes, I'm going to tell you right now. You start using steroids, because, you know, I used them in the past. Just
that's time. Fucking, and that's cool here, right?
And, you know, no, not really. Not okay. At all. Because Pogo told me, he's like, if you even think about getting back on the sauce, he's like, I'll fucking fire you immediately. You don't need to do that. You're not a kid anymore, you know. Pogo himself had fucked around with him. I think all wrestlers play with him, you know.
He wasn't like a fucking Adonis or anything, man.
Yeah, like, his whole thing was like, he's like, ain't nobody going to buy 158-pound leather face.
No, that's true.
Cut the shit.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, hey. I put on all the weight. I put on all the size, everything that I had to do. And did it without any fucking roids. I haven't touched that shit in a couple decades now. And it was like, you know, with him, it was like he was seeing that I was willing to go through anything. You know, the teeth thing that I pointed out. I had to call him in the middle of the night. I was like, dude, I'm in so much fucking pain. He's like, we got to get you to that dentist. And I was like, without even saying, this was done on your watch. I'm getting fucking headbutted in the face by, Jesus Christ, why is his name escaping me? By Fujiwara. I'm getting headbutted in the fucking face. I'm doing all these brutal fucking strong style matches, all this other bullshit. So it was done on your clock, on your watch, in your ring. He would always medically cover me. Like, you know, he would go to his fucking back, you know, and they'd fuck with his back. And then they would do mine for free because I was there with him. And I was under the same plan. So, yeah, then came the phone call from Onita where he was flipping out going, what the fuck, man? Like, Pogo's gone. And then it was like a barrage of everybody just hitting me up. So once I put it out on Facebook, I'm like, I didn't have the words.
I'm pretty sure that you broke the story in the English language.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And as soon as I put it up there, I turned off my laptop and I was just like, I really need to think about this. I'm like, he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Holy, I was like, some of my clothes are at his fucking alarm. I'm like, what? I was like, nah, let me try to process this. And then I started crying and shit. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, fuck. I spent like 2 hours just crying and thinking like, and in the middle of this, the old lady that I moved into my house, that's still there in my house, she came in. She was like, hey, morning, Tony. How's it going? Hey, man, I got some extra. And I was just like, what was that? And she was like, she just covered her face and left out the room. And like, I continued to mourn. And then after about 2 hours, I turned on the fucking computer, which I didn't want to do. I got my phone, started looking through it, and it was just message, message, message. And then I was just selectively, like, picking them out. I was like, I answered back Matt Tremont. I'm like, this is just, like, my worst fucking nightmare, man. And then I was like, fuck all this social media shit. I'm like, get your bearings. And I was like, yeah, that's it. Be tough. I go to the convenience store. I go to like drink a beer just as if to say like, all right, my life.
Do you want a beer? Bring them on. Bring them on. Yeah.
Keep it going.
Hey, I didn't get a steak, so beer's on me tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, brother.
Going to piss.
Dude, I popped it. Now I can't contain it. Keep on going, though. I'll be right back.
I love it. Onita, the peep whale, will sit there and go, pee-pee time. When he gets up to go to the bathroom, he's go, pee-pee time.
What is the, I heard...
Then he has to explain to a Japanese what pee-pee time.
BJW has some memorial thing that they haul out around to their events for Pogo or something? Or
yeah,
what is that all about?
WWS does that. Every single show, like they build up a shrine.
Mm-hmm.
My old lady, Man Yoshiko, helped like build a shrine.
That's not BJW?
Somebody told me
it was BJW.
Yeah. He was actually their very first champion.
Yeah.
And when Kojika had launched BJW, along with the guy that was a Dragon Master in WCW, when he launched that, when BJW was a brand new company in 1996, they built the whole thing on the back of Pogo.
Yeah.
Like, Pogo's going to carry this, you know, and then later on, Matsunaga joined. But WWS always says that. I must have a million pictures on my phone. They'll build a shrine on stage.
Yeah.
Fans will bring them gifts like he's still here. Like,
yeah.
Bring them beer.
And they still do it?
Yeah, and then after the show, the boys will look at it and be like, I can't drink that much sake.
Yeah.
So you wind up getting all kinds of, you know, you celebrate with them still.
Right.
In the spirit of them too.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was like when that whole thing happened, it was like, God damn. And then having to answer, get back to everybody. And like, I started copying and pasting. I'm like, I'm sorry, now is not the time.
Yeah.
And I just copied and pasted to all these different people that were like, I went into detail in the 605 podcast, but I thought it was just so disgusting. Some people were like, can I have his knee pads? And I'm like, man, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
I pray to God that you fucking get ran over by a bus.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Come on.
No, at the time that I was going through this, I was like, really, if you got ran over by a bus of necrophiliacs, I pray to God that's just the start of your bad fucking day. You know what I mean? Like, all this shit was...
The vultures come out. I want to shit.
Yeah, it was like... Yeah, and people like, oh, well, if I get a pair of his socks, you know, I can make, like, you know, or I can, like, use this and, like,
Just capitalism.
I'll go around and cut little pieces off, and then this way everybody could have their own piece. And I'm like,
oh, how?
I'm like, you're just such a piece.
Excuse me.
Send me my son. Thank
you.
Hey, mochi beer, good design.
My fucking Japanese is garbage, man.
I just go,
my Chinese is not that bad, man.
My Japanese is garbage, man. Holy shit.
Nah, my Chinese is actually, as much as I talk about how much it sucks, it's actually not that bad.
You know what the funniest thing was? So I go to the convenience store, like, right after this whole thing has hit me.
Sorry.
Don't bring my phone. I go, I need another pack of cigarettes because I know I'm going to, like, chain smoke and shit. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get a beer. I feel like I'm drinking a beer. And I actually wrestled at a daytime show that day, too. So I was like, all right, let me just get a beer. Maybe life will start to beer and a cigarette. I was like, yeah, I'm just be tough. I'm going to tough this shit out, man. I'm standing there, all of a sudden I'm grabbing on the fucking sign. And I'm just like, holy shit. I'm going into freakout mode, man. Like, I'd never had, like, an anxiety attack, I guess it was. But I was just like, fuck this, man. I went home and I cried like a little girl for another lecture. In between answering everybody's, but yeah, it literally took me a full day to just get off of my ass, just sitting there, no sleep. First place I went, now it's Shisano's bar. Buck Gunderson, like the OVW guy, just from Canada, came out with me in Moshi Sano's bar, and I'm like, you caught me at the worst possible humanly. I was like, but life has to resume and go back to normal. And then, what do you want to call it?
Anyway, yeah. Go on.
First place I went to was Moshi Sano's Stanley Club Bar in Shinjuku. I went in there, and he was already wearing a polo shirt, and we were both looking at each other like, I got a call. Because I was supposed to wrestle that night, and they're like, Tony, you're not going to be in any frame of mind. They're like, holy shit. And I was like, I don't even know what to fucking think at this point. Like, what the... He started coming with me at church all the time. So then on top of other things, I was like, what the fuck? Sambo Asaka, the guy from FMW.
Yeah, FMW, yeah.
He became a Christian, right? While he had gotten cancer. So everybody was like... it's one of those things I could never, death never hung in the balance. This wasn't a live or die thing. It was either, all right, I'm going to be walking, I'm going to be a wheelchair, or I'm just going to walk awkwardly and fucking, you know. It wasn't supposed to be like, he's going to live, he's going to die. What the fuck? But yeah, I think there was another question he had had, or...
I don't know.
You hear how much I ramble. This ain't helping.
Jeff, take it. Give us a floor to talk about, man.
Let me see.
Now it's gonna seem long and drug out. I think I'm ran out of shit to say, man.
Well, shit. You want to end it there, man?
I mean, we could, man. I don't want to, like, you know.
I'm fully in tune with, like, end on a high note.
I'm tired,
man,
of listening to you fucking
Nick
talk.
Nick Gage. What are you thinking about Nick Gage?
Nick Gage was a guy. True story. Memphis, Tennessee. I got my death match, Sex and Violence. Bring in Drake Younger. Our champion was Chief Akulaka. You know, the guy out in the Midwest. And Drake Younger. Right? So it was like the three of them, me, we're in this four-way death match. Scotty Vortex winds up winning the belt. So I was like, got an idea. You guys be like Midwest militia guys. I'll bring in John Zandig, Nick Gage. That's the way I wanted it. I was like, this would be fucking perfect. We got one show left because I sold my house in Memphis, made that fucking announcement that's it. My house is sold. I'm leaving. That was my big announcement, people. But I've sold the company. It's Motley Crue is your brand new owner. Yeah. Anyway, I don't think he never did nothing with it. He had like two bars. One of them was paying him like $1,500, and then the New Daisy on Beale Street, downtown Memphis, was paying us $2,500. This is every month. So every 2 weeks, we were running death matches. So, another long story short, after the house was sold, it just didn't happen. I was like, what am I going to do? Live in a hotel just to run my last show? And then, yeah, that was like, I would have loved to have had Gage and Zandig just to see what that looked like on paper. Drake Younger, Scotty Vortex, Peach.
Yeah.
That would have been a whole lot of fun. Chief is now, well, he really has a stranglehold in.
Who is this?
Chief Okulaka.
I have no idea, man. You mind, bro? I've Rod. Never been to a wrestling show in America in my life since 2000 EC. I went to one ECW show. I went to a I went to the first TNN taping in Toledo, Ohio, which was so bad it never saw air, and they and then they retaped it in Queens like 2 weeks later. But anyway.
How so bizarre for wrestling. It's like, all right, it didn't work out in Ohio. Let's go to the Queens.
Dude, when I saw it, they announced it on Heatwave like 2000 or something. I remember I'm watching Heatwave, and they're like, and we're going to be in Queens, we're going to be in Florida. And I'm like, Toledo, Ohio? What the fuck?
The best was the FMW roster, right? Like, this was like the last 3 years that they kept the new FMW going. It was like, they would just run out of some ideas. So it was like, all right, then we're going to have Yaguchi's going to turn on Onita, and he's going to be your partner tonight. And you're going to go against Hosaka, Onita, and like Ricky Fuji, like a six man.
Yeah.
And then like, all right, now we're going to turn Hosaka and Onita. Yaguchi's going to turn on you and join back with Onita, and Hosaka's going back to his Mr. Polo 2 persona. And it was like all these angles are like a mile a minute. Like, we do one tour, we get out of there. Then Onita goes, we have to add another layer because I beat you all last tour. Like, all right, I know what to do. I'll say I know who it is under that mask. It's Tony Myers. Don't call this guy Leatherface. Call him Chainsaw because like Pogo couldn't stand the Leatherface name. He's like, there's already been two of them here.
Who? So, I'm sorry. Who couldn't Pogo?
Onita.
Onita. Onita couldn't stand it.
He couldn't stand the whole leather. He was like, that's enough.
Oh, bro, I don't want to cut you off, but I got a topic I got to ask you about. Victor Quinones. Drop it on me, man. Like, what's the fucking deal on him, man?
He's a hustler, man.
He's a hustler.
He's a hustler, and he, I mean, it's out there. He liked his men.
Yeah. There's a story he was jacking off on David Flair.
There's all kinds of
and that's why David Flair bailed on Puerto Rico, because he woke up. He woke up, and Victor Quinones was busting one on his face. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's the rumor, man.
Sweet, lovable, professional wrestling, folks. You remember there was like there was a thing on the message board where so many rumors were added.
Yeah. It was the sleaze thread. Yeah. I was
like,
there for it.
It was like 216 of these things where it was like Raven, Bang, Becky, Bayless, and they had
which
the
is true,
Kong
which is
Raven
true.
Sit there and address all this shit.
Yeah.
Jimmy Valiant, you know, like that girl shit on the fucking.
So okay, bet. Okay, wait. So I gotta be a professional. Hold on, give me 82 seconds.
What's great about
82 seconds?
Yeah, 82.
Victor Quinones founded, not founded. Okay, what was his relationship with IWA Wing? ECW.
He would bring over a shit.
So
like
he was a booker.
He
was
to sell to Japanese people. He was a hustler.
He was a talent booker.
Yes.
What was his start in wrestling, man?
I don't know his initial how he got involved with all wrestling, but like the thing with him is you will never find any of the boys that bash him.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Any of the Japanese boys.
Well,
was Shoji
Nakamura was down to his. Wing Kanemura was down to his last $20 in the United States. You know, we did the whole Smoky Mountain.
The Smoky Mountain tour, yeah.
Victor Quinones gave him money.
Okay.
The head.
But hunt. Victor Quinones booked him, right?
Yeah. And
so
you
got to take care of the guys who you book. You can't fly a Japanese guy to Tennessee and then leave him stranded in a hotel, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
dude, you are addicted to these filters. You got to put your cigarette out faster, man.
It's the one you started smoking.
Quiet down. But anyway, I'm trying to. I haven't smoked a full cigarette in fucking 9 years.
It's becoming a knot now. Oh my God. It's becoming a goose egg on his forehead.
I'm gonna call it a bump.
I remember when Wolfie D one time goes,
fuck Wolfie D, we're talking about Victor Quinones.
Real quick, Wolfie D goes, he goes, man, I need to quit gigging, man. I think I think that's why I'm starting to go bald. It's like, what the
send fuck? Send me on Facebook, send me, okay?
All these guys' fucking foreheads all carved
so
up.
So Victor Quinones,
so
okay.
Victor Quinones took care of a lot of, like,
was Shoji Nakamaki gay?
I don't know.
Okay, go on
about
Victor
to ask
then.
Him.
Go on about Victor.
Fucking hated Nakamaki. as much as he used them and shit, he would never say a nice word.
Do you, is Nakamaki still around?
He was a journalist.
Man, I got like 9 questions I'm asking you at the same time.
I know.
Let's stick with Victor, okay? Just talk about Victor, man. I'm so fascinated by
Victor. He took care of everyone. Victor, dude. Pogo was another one. The Headhunters. Headhunters were 2 guys that were trained by Johnny Rods.
Yeah.
Who were going nowhere. He took them under his fucking wing and boom, there you go.
Ooh.
Next thing you know, they're all over the Headhunters. The fucking world.
Yeah. Yeah. You've heard the Kawasaki Dreamin' thing, right?
Yo,
it's got quotes of Victor just the Headhunters. Woo!
Yeah. So he mentioned that he managed all the heroes. You'll see him out there with fucking Kershner, the original leather. You know, when it gets brought up to me, man, I go, Kershner is 62.
Mm-hmm.
He's like settled into a regular life. Like,
and what's he doing nowadays?
Truck driver.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he pulled no fucking bullshit.
He almost killed fucking Nakamaki that one time. On purpose, by his own admission.
It was there in Shinjuku when he fucking slugged the guy. Doug Gilbert was there.
Yeah.
Doug Gilbert talked about, he goes, man, it's like a water balloon done exploded, man. He was like 15 feet away and blood sprinkled all over him.
Yeah, he was trying to kill him, man.
Now, he just drilled the guy in the face.
Over what, a booking?
No, the guy came up to him.
No, I mean that nail death match is what I'm talking about.
No, he was in a raw mood anyway. He was willing to—he was ready to quit over the whole Ibaragi thing. Ibaragi took his gimmick, gave it to Rick Patterson in Canada.
Yeah,
wanted to charge him like $2,000 when this shit was only like the whole Leatherface thing is only like a few bucks, man. You know, dress shirt, tie.
But still, when you're you're swinging a bed of nails like a fucking baseball bat on a guy trying to kill him, I mean,
not
Jesus,
giving a shit, yeah. You know what's going to be funny? It's going to be like when he goes back to Eddie, he's going to be like, you know, the third part of the interview. He's going to be like sober and he's going to be like, yeah.
Alright, I'm sorry.
It kind of went off the rails.
I hope that thing's still on.
It is.
Cut off like an hour ago.
Take over, Jeff. Take over. I'm too drunk. I got to go home. I'm too drunk. I got to go home.
Man, you never look better, man.
Jeff is my co-pilot. Come on, man. Help me out.
So, yeah, with Victor Quiñones, you'll never hear any of the boys bash him. You'll never hear anybody trash the guy.
Yeah.
Ever. He always helped everybody. You know, he passed.
Yeah.
And to this day, nobody has said anything bad about the guy.
Well, there's the whole story that he, I won't say forced, but he greatly implored Tajiri and Super Crazy to do the final ECW tour. He's like, look, you aren't going to get paid, but they're the reason why you're anybody, and you've got to finish out the tour, you know? Like, I
was just a commitment thing, though, you know what I mean?
I think that Victor Quiñones is a very fascinating man in wrestling. Very fascinating.
Very influential.
Yeah.
Got a lot of people, a lot of work, helped out a lot of people. Good luck finding anybody in wrestling you can say anything about.
What was your first Japanese tour?
It wasn't a tour.
What was it?
What happened was, so I come in, right? Eddie Gilbert goes, they sent a plane ticket for you.
I gotta pause you real quick. Am I unlistenable to right now?
No.
Okay,
awesome.
Go on. All right, go on.
You're audibly speaking, so
I'm all like,
I can understand you.
All right, cool.
Eddie Gilbert wants to put the ticket for you.
Right.
In my legal name and everything.
When?
1994.
Okay.
He had already quit Wing by then.
Yeah.
So I just show up there. I'm trying to call around and shit. All of a sudden I see this young guy there. He flags me over there and he goes, oh, you must be at, this before I was even Tony Myers.
What's your fucking name, dude?
You want to hear something that'll trip you out? My legal name is Jason Myers.
No, why would you ever change that? Chainsaw Jason Myers? Come on, dude.
It just sounds so made up. It's like people.
Hey, do you want to know my fucking real name,
come on,
dude?
Man. You try to be a nerdy wrestling fan wearing nothing but t-shirts to fucking high school. I had a horrible fucking stutter. I wouldn't shut the fuck up about wrestling, and I got a legal name like that.
That'd make a great shirt. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Put something together. Jason Myers.
Am I supposed to raise your legal name here out loud?
If you want to.
I won't. But it was funny. You did notice that, though, last night. Yeah. I saw him sitting there in the crowd.
I can't read it because I got my con.
Steven Tyler is my name.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck
My middle name is fucking Tyler. Which is anyway, great. But yeah, so yeah, you were pointing at me. I was snapping photos, motherfucker.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Two things. Now I'm like interrupting my own shit to say other shit. So, okay. First thing. So I was like, you know, people in high school would always be like, oh, fucking retard with the stutter, loves wrestling.
Doesn't it suck? I got a stutter, man. Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. Anyway.
It wasn't nearly as bad as mine.
Yeah.
But, so wrestling promos helped me, like, overcome all that shit.
I had decades of speech therapy, dude.
Yeah, but it's easy for you to address it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you know, you grow up
totally
and you're like,
coherent after 20 beers.
Thank you, man. Thank you. No, you so, grow like we all grow up. Yeah.
So, you know, people are like, well, what's your middle name? Freddie. You know, it never stopped. So, yeah, long story short, Tony Myers is just something Downtown Bruno came up with on Memphis TV.
Okay.
They didn't want me as Romeo Rodriguez, or couldn't remember that. So, Tony Myers, you see me throw my hand up, go, who the fuck is Tony Myers? So, yeah, Teddy Steele, Charlie Laird, and Tony Myers. So last night, I see him sitting there in the crowd. Now, I remember either I friend requested or he friend requested. I knew what his face looked like. But I mean, how many fucking white people are in the crowd? Yeah. So I'm sitting there and I go, hey, I know this guy.
I was telling him.
There's two semis at each other.
Yeah. Last night I was telling Jeff here, I was like, when you all came out, man, I'm a mark for the goon squad. It's you and Gunzo, and Gunzo's Gunzo. Fujita's wearing the Jason 2, or I'm sorry, the Friday the 13th Part 2 fucking burlap sack mask. I'm like, oh, bro, this is the goon squad,
I was wondering where
man.
The fuck it was, and he didn't take it out and put it on until like the last minute.
Yeah.
So I was like, god damn, I thought I turned off this thing.
I love that match, bro.
The funniest part is, I always tell guys, I was like, hell, you're going to have to get my attention anyway. Yeah. When you do it, you know, it's like...
Fujita was trying to get you to go over to post for a photo, and you were too busy swinging your chainsaw around.
To me, the best part about being retarded and being Leatherface is, even when people call you by your name and shit...
You can be like,
last night, they were over there going, Tony, and I'm looking behind me, and
going, hey! And Gunzo and Fujita were posing for the hard cam.
Yeah, you see Fujita, like, he's trying not to laugh. God bless his heart. But he was just like, it makes it even funnier that I'm like, pointing to myself, I'm looking behind me like, where the fuck else would another Tony be? Anywhere in that crowd? But yeah, it was like, I promise I'd be on my best behavior and shit. And then even Kasai, especially Duck 80, was like, dude, I know this is supposed to be like a sacred holiday. I'm like, fuck that, there's wrestling here. You know? But to me, it was always like, Nozawa once pointed out, he goes, you get so nervous. No, I don't. I go, it's playing into the whole fucking, the guy's a retard.
I got a question for you. What are you, the difference between Japanese and American wrestling with the fans? I mean, the Japanese fans, they don't really do much.
Yeah.
And if they do, they do like a golf clap.
Golf clap. And you know what I always do? I always
tell them. What do you like better?
I was like, fuck it. I was like, yo, if I got to break the fourth wall, I don't give a shit. I'll say in Japanese, like, y'all make some fucking noise.
Yeah.
I'll leave this motherfucker. I swear to God, I will. Come on, let's like fucking have a good time out here. Like,
well, it's like
party.
Classically Japanese and American wrestling as well, but you know the Japanese.
No, like the American thing is like you know it's slow clap. Like come on, how old are you, man? Why are you doing that?
Well, no, what I mean is like, I think that the traditional, traditional technical style of wrestling continued longer than in America.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So. The idea of hardcore wrestling only came in like 1990.
Right.
Whereas in America, it started in the mid-70s, you know? So they were like 15 years behind.
And seeing fans in suits
is
kind
of... Yeah. And chicks and families.
When you watch some of the first wrestling that was ever caught on video, and you see like people
it's
with
all
like
suits.
Martinis and shit, and like suits and ties, and a small table, you're like, what the... Like, these people attended wrestling, you know, not lowbrow, toothless hillbillies. Like,
it's not a VOW show. It's okay. Calm down a little bit. But.
Yeah. Did you see the, you saw in the goddamn picture, right? Like, they had to drill, like, a bit, like, and make, like, a metal thing in my gum line and shit.
No, I didn't see that. What the fuck are you talking
about?
What?
When they went to do the implants. Because they're all in.
Oh, when you were just showing that. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, man.
reminding me because I got like rice all lodged in my teeth right now. I'm still fucking eating. I feel bad. I'm eating and you guys are just like hanging. Like,
oh no, I feel bad, dude. This has been really been like I'm really thankful, man. Like this has been really fun tonight, man.
No, I mean it's something else, man. You don't get a lot of time to get anything off your chest.
Yeah.
And usually when you do, it's just like a heat-seeking missile. Like, you know, I don't trash. I don't want
to. I don't want you to trash anybody. Hell no, man. I'm a positive guy, man.
Yeah, it's like to me, there's so much fucking negativity when you deal with shit on a daily basis.
Yeah.
There's no fucking point in just being like, yeah. I mean, you can laugh at something for parody's sake. Jesus Christ, like, how long can you fucking do it for? It's like, that's why we moved on from the IWA Deep South. Otherwise, I mean, the funnier the stories are that Jeff tells, or even, you know, makes it even better.
The only thing that got me was I just watched, I don't know if you heard the podcast, but I just watched that $10 wrestling.
Yeah, and he just goes, this is just, it's like he lost it on the fucking
Cause podcast. Dude, he's just saying the N-word and making fun of fucking retards, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
And that Taurus Dookie guy is fucking Kevin on this goddamn
I didn't know it was Kevin. When Mike told me, I lost it. I'm like, oh, I thought it was some goofball they got from the crowd, and no, it's Kevin fucking Brennan.
And
dude,
they had the rape face guy, like, in what shape or form would... What kind of a sick human being would be like, yeah, it's a baby face, yeah, let's cheer him. He rapes underage? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What is wrong with people? Like, why would you think they're people a good I don't want to know? Here, and I just barreled into negativity, but I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
Decency, and then there's filth. And then there's fucking. All right, like John Waters wise puts it back. There's in good bad taste and in bad taste. Yeah. Like, in good bad taste is something that is funny. In bad taste, something that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Like, in good bad taste. Boy, this is really in good bad taste. Was like, alright, after 9/11, somebody took the picture of all the people jumping out of the building, and then they put, like, Olympic scores on the bottom of the screen. Like, Croatia, like, United States, France.
Yeah. That's bad taste. Yeah. That's
ridiculous. But in good bad taste is like, when you look at something that's fucking horrific and you listen to somebody like analyze it and just destroy it, and it's funny the way that they do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it started out that way with Jim Cornette where it's fucking funny listening to him retort on shit.
But now it's so old, man. But now I'm so it's just sick like of it, yeah.
How many fucking times can you hear it? Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express. How many fucking times can you hear, if you put his brain down a cornrow and a row storm drain, and it's fucking stop.
I'm gonna make like one of those like random fill in the sentence Jim Cornette bots of like, you know, if a squirrel can go out on a Sunday and give me a hot dog, then maybe you can fuck my mother on a, you know, it's.
I will say something about Deep South before GCW.
Yeah.
You gotta point out how Canadian
before,
that fucking
and before
sounded.
Before Val, more fans that go to like a ton of matches go to Carnage Cup.
Yeah.
Because it's just different.
I swear to God, one time I was thinking about just going down there by myself and just like by myself and like with a hat. And so nobody like bothers me. So I could just listen and overhear what the normal crowd has to say about the shit that they are fucking seeing.
Yeah.
Like if they're like, yeah, that was great. Or like, oh man, he's really fucking him up. You know, like, what is the vibe at those events? Yeah. Are people just standing there like, looking at each other like, we leave? Like, this is not good.
Yeah.
Or are they like, yeah, kick his ass? I mean, what are they coming for? Yeah.
I'll say a couple positive things about Carnage Cup. I want to say one thing about Carnage Cup. I want to say it made him, but Matt Tremont's first big match was against Danny Havoc at the fucking Carnage Cup. We all know it when he
then
took that
Brett
that
recommended
the
him to CZW
the super cut or I'm sorry the superplex onto the shopping cart. I mean that's Matt Tremont. And that's in every match treatment.
Yeah, but you
Matt
know something? The way that I see it with how driven Tremont was,
he was going to do it anyway. Absolutely.
No matter what.
And you know what? Like
he would have been like an Ian Rotten guy. If
he yeah. He would have found some way in, absolutely. Yeah. But my thing about the Carnage Cup is just, it's just how well documented man, dude, it's just like, there's like screenshots of him talking to people, talking about how Hitler's was a great guy, and how, like...
I've
and
never seen any of that shit.
Bro, I'm going to send it to you. He was talking to Adam Lash, the guy from, not Smart Mart Video, maybe High Spots or whatever, but he was talking to Adam Lash about how he wanted to put the Deep South stuff on...
He was one of the Dennis Quaid guys.
On Powerbomb, Powerbomb, right? Anyway, and the Powerbomb guy, like, he's like... Oh, I don't know, there's pictures of you being a racist, blah, blah. And, dude, it's like these are screenshots. And Kevin Brand's like, you need to watch real documentaries about Hitler so you can know the real story about how he was trying to save Europe and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, he was trying to save Europe.
Yeah, dude, this is Kevin Brennan. Dude, and there are pictures of him in KKK hoods and all that stuff. It's like, look.
So is that for shock value, or does he actually believe that?
Dude, he's from the...
You know what the beauty of all of it is with, like, IWA Deep South? The more you listen to somebody rail on it and just describe how flat
the more it makes sense.
The funnier it gets. I'm sorry. Like, that's in good bad taste. What I just summarized right there.
Okay. Topic. Hold on. I got a topic I wanted to ask. You saw those Russian guys set the ring on fire, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, me, now look, I'm going to be honest. When I do my little typing up. When I do my little typing up, now look, I sit at my desk for 4 fucking hours and I type it up, right?
Yeah.
And I have to say, look, am I a journalist? How serious do I take this? And how critical should I fucking be and everything? Those Russian guys, they're not trained. They're trying to build something. Okay.
They're trained a little bit.
But they lit the ring on fire with gasoline.
A little bit.
They lit the ring on fire with gasoline.
It's hard to get. And it's hard to get kerosene over there.
How critical should I be of these motherfuckers? You know what I mean? The dude almost lost his foot.
Once before they actually did the math.
He almost lost his foot, you know? Like, how critical should I be? Tony, help me, man. You've been around for 25, 30 fucking years. How critical should I be, man?
You gotta work with what you get. They don't have
direct result
kerosene.
Of passion over common sense. I'm not really, I'm not one for analytical. I wish I could bottle bite up.
Yeah.
Bottle what?
You know, like, watching that and being like, did you think there's going to be a future? Like,
have you ever taken notes on a Carnage Cup? Because I have.
At what point did you think, like, this might be a good idea? Or at what point are you just going to realize, that's about enough of this shit, and just quit? And not do this anymore, and not do any of it anymore. Like, at what point does common sense, like, start to seep into people's heads? Yeah, they got recognized, but you know what? They're just going to be typecasted forever.
And Kevin Brennan's going to bring them in and say, hey, we're going to put you in a fire death match.
That's going to be something. There should be a, there should be like, I finally finished my food, right?
Right, yeah. 3 hours, brother. Yeah. Excuse me, brother.
He's going to take a whiz again.
That's like, what, my 5th piss in 4 beers?
I feel like a lazy snob. I haven't even gotten out of the chair.
I know.
Oh, great. But, you know, like, and I'm going to guess those guys are in their 20s or so, right?
Yeah.
I can't think that there's that much of a future for them.
No.
Maybe they're just...
Not now.
Really, maybe they're just really poor.
Yeah.
And just have no other way of living in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was dating...
I mean, it's a pretty bleak situation over there.
I was dating this chick from an obscure shithole country in Africa.
Yeah.
And she was like... I need a government letter to you. See, in my country, you're not allowed to leave unless there's like a written, you know, notification from somebody saying they want you here.
Yeah.
And I was just like, the hell with it. I was like, get you a Japanese girl. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. But guys like that, like, it's like kind of like with the whole Thumbtack Jackson. You're like, this guy's not going to go very long with his style.
Yeah.
It's not humanly possible.
What do you think about... I've heard that Masada purposely put Thumbtack Jack out of wrestling. Because he was saying a lot of racist stuff.
What? Thumbtack Jack was saying racist shit.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
I don't know where I heard that, but I read that or heard that.
He powerbombed on his neck on Cinderblock.
Well, let me get this straight. He put Thumbtack Jack out, but Blade Boudreaux somehow survived the match with Masada. If I got that right. Like Blade Boudreaux is still around and whatnot.
Okay, now I'm gonna back you up a little bit. But so they had the Thumbtack Jack and Masada had the TOD Fast Forward Finals.
Yeah.
And Masada openly said on an interview, he gave him a powerbomb off the top rope onto fucking cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't the match that ended his career.
Right.
But Masada said, I powerbombed him as hard as I could on the cinder blocks because I wanted to kill him. You're right. I do remember that.
Yeah. And then, like, the next match, he's, like, out of wrestling forever.
And then, like, a couple months later, they wrestled in Germany and I remember when the announcement was made
that Thumbtack Jack was no longer doing death matches. I remember Scotty Vortex.
He broke his back.
Scotty Vortex was on my computer. He just, like, shrugged his shoulders. He goes, what's he going to do? You know, it's like, I don't imagine, like, anything else in his future.
Yeah.
If he's not going to do death matches, fuck the...
Well, he does commentary now for WWE in Germany.
Yeah.
You mean WXW?
Maybe.
Whatever. Whatever it is. I don't think it's WWE that he's doing commentary. You
know, that's the last time I've watched that product.
So, I wouldn't even know what to look at if I was watching WWE. I'd just be wondering, like, how these people got there. You know, like... Okay, like a foreigner just walked in this place. Don't you want to, like, look at him and be like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, you know that look you get with other people in the train
station?
Bring
him over. Let's invite him over. I want to invite him over.
Join his podcast.
Is that okay? Hey, buddy. You want to join us, man? What's that? Very, very good. Are you alone or are you with people? If you want to sit with us, you can sit with us, brother. If not, you can sit over there. It's okay.
Oh, wait. I don't think it's dawned on him that he's in the Rivera.
He does.
We don't know about wrestling. All
right. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, but we're drinking and shit, so you can join us if you want, dude. Yeah, come on over, man.
Impromptu. It didn't even dawn on me, like, we're having this conversation, and, like, we're being recorded.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Because it's been so long.
it seems like I openly bash people that I do talk about. But, I mean... It goes like this with me, like, if I'm going to bash you, you
come on in, man, come on in.
You know, because, like, I go out of my way.
This is Chainsaw Tony Myers. I don't know if you know, he's famous as fuck, dude.
Really?
Yeah, he's super famous.
You know
where are you from?
You know what's ridiculous?
I'm from Wyoming.
I thought you were from Germany. All right.
You know what's ridiculous?
I'm from Ohio. He's from Canada. I live in China. He's been in Japan for, like, 25 years wrestling.
I'm from my dad's balls.
Oh, wow.
This is... Old lady.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Jared.
Jared, nice to meet you. What brings you to Japan?
I live down the street.
Oh, okay. Do you teach?
No.
What do you do here?
I work in IT.
Oh, shit. He's way cooler than me, man.
He's way smarter than all of us.
Do you live in China? Where do you live?
I live in Qingdao.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last year.
Oh, really? What do you think of it?
It's super cold.
It's polluted as fuck right now, dude.
He's a professional podcaster and a teacher. As well as a diehard wrestling fan.
Tony, let's rock it and finish it. Give us the last word, man.
He came across somebody else more interesting.
No, I don't want to bug this guy with my podcast shit, man. Give us the last word, Tony.
No, that's cool, man. You know, for anybody that's followed along this trek, I mean, it's been a long, windy road. I don't get much of
a
chance
fan, right?
to really talk about wrestling
really,
and that kind of shit. I get on podcasts,
I
got a lot of shit to get off my chest. And, no, man, I mean, if you're still hanging in there and you're still listening to this, I mean, I truly do appreciate it.
Where can people find you online?
We probably lost all the...
Where can people find you online, Tony? Where can people find
you online? There's my very public Facebook, which, if you're going to call me Chainsaw Tony Myers, what's the point of me wearing a fucking mask?
Hey, show him your mask. Show this guy
I didn't
your
have
mask.
The balls to tell Tremont, like, the...
this is his mask, bro. he runs around with a chainsaw, man. Scaring old people.
And now he's going to think I'm a complete idiot. Like, what the fuck I sit this table of retards for? No, it's like, I didn't have the balls to tell Tremont. I'm like, dude, if you're going to call me Chainsaw Tony Myers, why the fuck am I under this mask? It's just Chainsaw Tony. But, you know, I was like, it's H2O, it's Matt, it's his thing. I'll give you a good slash.
Oh, you fucking killed Louie in that match.
Yeah.
I forgot
about
that.
No, I didn't
kill
him.
Nah, you do Louie juices,
dude, he ruined
my
shirt, man.
Louie juices, man. That dude blades like a motherfucker.
Yeah, but he cut me up all over the place, man. I mean, yeah, here's a great one from H2O. All
right, last one, man.
All right, I didn't want...
We don't want to go over 4 hours.
Yeah, even he's getting tired of me.
Hey, man, I could go on all night.
You know, schlag.
As long as I got beers.
Yeah, no schlag. Look at his shirt, man. Oh, you changed shirts.
I did.
That wasn't his first choice. He only wore that shirt.
I was wearing schlag today. Yep.
So schlag goes, I go, hey, buddy, I go, I don't want to shit in front of the fans, but man, I got And, like, he's back there with a couple, like, Mickey Knuckles and another female, and I go, it's like a community bathroom. I don't want to shit here. Like, is there another bathroom around here? And he goes, what are you going to do, shit in the woods? Like, he just, like, he's ballsy enough to say it, which makes it even fucking funnier.
I keep hearing it in his voice, too. You know what's so funny? Last story, and then as soon as the story's over, I'm hitting stop. So don't say a fucking word after I finish, okay?
Well, I just, you said plug the social media. Yeah, I'm on my fake legal name of Tony Myers on Facebook. The fucking Instagram got hacked by fucking Chainsaw Tony. So did my Twitter. So go there if you want to talk about him, because I'll just go on my Facebook and say, this isn't him. You know, like, I believe in kayfabe and whatnot.
So, you should.
Yeah. So
real quick, story. Last thing. I don't know what match it was. I think it was against Eric Grind. I forget what it was, but it was Schlack against somebody. And I believe in kayfabe. I believe in kayfabe. It's still real to me, right? And they're Schlack, right? Schlack, motherfucker. I'm gonna fucking da-da-da. And he goes under the ring, and he's going to get chairs, and he says in front of the camera, in the softest voice ever, he goes, I can't find chairs. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a gimmick he's doing. That voice is fake, man. You're killing me, man.
I was complaining about my man bun douchey thing, you know, because it's 3 feet of hair on from my head. And Schlack just comes up and goes, yeah, I get the same shit. Turns out his fucking head. And that was the first time I ever met him.
All right, this has been Beers and Chainsaw in Theory of Three episodes. See you later. Don't say anything. Boom. Stop. I don't know how to stop this. It's still going.